Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
It's Reggie Atatula, it's Chris Partee, and Colin Neal is in there in the control room. This is In the Loop today. You're listening to KILT AM, KILT FM HD2 Houston, an Odyssey sports station, and In the Loop starts now.
I like it. Is that going to be a thing that we keep going just like that? Just
changing it up all the time.
Okay, very good. Yeah, I appreciate it. A little bit of a cambio, as you want, time to time.
See what happens tomorrow.
Getting ready for Astro season is what's happening there. He's like, let's throw a change up in there, baby. We getting ready. No, you are indeed in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. I'm Reginald Atatula. We got my guy Chris Partee in.
What's happening, bro?
He is in for the stranded John Lopez. I like to think that he's just wandering the streets of Houston.
Trying to make it in.
Just trying to find. He is by hook or by crook, he's going to make it in. In fact, as I said in that handoff, we will be calling him at intervals. I'm serious about this because I'm going to make him work today.
Not texting you right now, is he?
He is not.
Okay, I thought.
I am trying to get Colin Neal his number so that we can execute this plan that I thought up off the top of my head, where we just frequently call John Lopez and get his insight. And the first one, obviously, that we're going to need is why exactly he did not make it in from his own words.
So I think this is going to be a good story. He's a good storyteller. I think this is going to be a good one.
He is a good storyteller.
He is. He definitely is.
Which, by the way, that remind me once we get him on the phone to ask him where my book is, because being a good storyteller, you know, he writes well, and he promised that he would send me or give me a copy of one of his books that he has penned in his illustrious writing career.
And you still waiting?
I ain't reading, am I?
I know you're not right now.
Okay. That's right. But yes, Chris Partee, appreciate you hanging out with us. Colin Neal's on the ones and twos trying to keep us together. And you also, wherever you are, in fact, let us know. 713-572-4610. Where are you? What are you doing? I am deeply interested on this unique and rare Houston snow day.
How often now? I'm still new to the city.
Uh-huh.
And
where are you from originally? I want to ask.
I'm from the Bay Area. I'm from San Francisco.
Okay.
So I'm not used to snow either. But I've lived, I lived in Chicago for a while. I lived in Portland, Oregon. I did radio in Austin for a little while. Like, I've been
very
around.
Very snowy Austin. I'm familiar with that.
Right? Yes. Exactly. But I've been around a little bit. But I'm sorry. I did deal with snow a little bit in Chicago. But, like, how often does it happen here? I know it's infrequent.
Very infrequent.
Sure.
Especially
in Texas.
Especially to this degree. And really, here's the thing, right? As soon as the snow actually catches, because that's also another barrier, right? Sometimes you'll get some flurries, but they don't actually stick to the ground and everything keeps moving. When you get flurries that will actually stick, or maybe more problematic, ice that settles, we don't have the infrastructure for that. We don't got no salt. We don't got no plows. We don't got none of that. And so
I've noticed.
We got to shut that. Yeah, fair enough. Touche.
I've noticed.
You have been out and about recently. So, yeah, it really does. It slows up the function of everything. So everybody is either at the crib or, making arrangements so that their respective jobs can get done. But yeah, man, this is one of those days where Houston just kind of cools out, man. And I appreciate the people in the north laugh at us. Go ahead and deal with that 105 right quick. Deal with that 108 and come and talk to us. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a different beast right there.
It is a different beast.
That's a different beast.
Whatever you're going through, whatever you're dealing with, one, let us know. And two, we hope to keep you company on this day, on this Tuesday here in the loop. But let's get this thing popping, and whenever you get him on the phone, just let me know. All right, Colin, I went ahead and got that number to you.
So you want me to go ahead and call him right now?
Yeah, man, we're gonna implement this. I want to set the tone and let him know that we are doing this with the level of frequency that we are going to. Yeah, man, we're just gonna pester him today. This is very snow day energy, right?
It is. I feel like it is. I think we should definitely, what do you say, 4.5 at the over-under?
Yeah, I think that's what I'm saying. At least, like, once an hour, an hour or two where we get a second one in.
And we definitely shooting for 5, for sure.
That's right.
We got to get that over.
Yeah, man.
We're shooting for that.
And I'm going to keep that in other spaces, too. We'll still have B. Scott. We're used to having him in on Tuesdays in the 11 o'clock hour. We'll have him on the phone at 11:20 because I still am very intrigued with B. Scott's thoughts after the Texans finished out their season, unfortunately losing to the Kansas City Chiefs 23-14. We'll talk more about where you go from there. I just giving you the opportunity to like chime in here. What was your general impression of that game that happened on Sunday or Saturday, rather?
Going into that game, honestly, I thought the Texans had a really good shot. Now, I kind of figured that the Chiefs would pull it out, but I thought that they would make it a game down to the end. Now, I know the stuff happened with the referees. But
it did.
It happened, and I know you guys have kind of gone over that.
That's right.
Yesterday in depth. I get it, so I'm not going to beat a dead horse, as they say.
I don't know. The people might want to hear it.
I think at this point, they're probably just so in their feelings right now. I don't want to add to that.
Sure.
So I understand.
Too sure.
But I still think the Texans are, they're developing, they're growing. Now, I think that defense is in a place where you can contend for a title with that defense.
Yeah, I think I really
think that's the, and we all know that's the strong point.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, we know there's some work to do offensively. But with the game Saturday, it was disappointing. It was disappointing more so me from an offensive standpoint. You can't keep settling for field goals.
Yeah, and
that's just you can't.
Right.
I'm sorry.
Right. That was a very much a frustration getting one offensive touchdown when if that felt like one of the better offensive performance that you had in a while.
Yeah.
Grittiness.
Yeah.
Speaking of disappointment, on the phone right now, John Lopez. Lopez, what's happening, man?
John, what's up?
What's up? Oh, well, it's been a morning, man.
Answer for yourself, Lopez.
It's been a morning, that's for sure. You know what they say about the best laid plans, right?
Yep, I've heard that.
So here's the thing. And what happened was, I was, heading out, got all my stuff, put it on the dock, ready to go. I actually posted a tweet. Some people might have noticed this. Said, hey, Reggie and I are going to be live and local. We got you covered, blah, blah, blah. Then I went out to my truck, all right? And Reggie's been to my house. I live on a very slight hill, like slight hill that goes down, not even maybe 15 degrees, something like that, if I had to guess. So I backed up, and I just got a brand new truck. And I've always had four-wheel drives on my trucks for obvious reasons, because I go to beaches and stuff. And on this one, I was like, you know what? I keep my boat in a marina. I really don't go to the beach that much. There's good roads there. I love this truck. So I don't think I need four-wheel drive on it, even though I didn't have it. I was like, I love this truck. So I start heading up the hill, and nothing. nothing happened. So then I said, I'll back up a little bit, get on some of this grass on the side of the road, and be good to go. And nothing. Then I started sliding backwards a little bit.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No. And so I said, well, we might as well just own it. So I went ahead and put it in reverse and just slid backwards about three quarters of a block to some flat ground. And I actually drew a little bit of an audience. Some kids were there's on that hill. Some kids were kind of, sledding down it on some whatever they were on. They were sledding down it, and their parents were there, and their parents crossed their hands and looking at me like, "Huh, look at that guy." And so, I was the entertainment for the block, and I was just waving at them like I was in a parade, and backing up nice and slow until I got to some flat ground, and walked back to the house and deleted that tweet about Reggie and I being live and local, called the office and said, it ain't going to happen for a while. So that's my story.
Well, Reggie's live and local with Chris Partee. You are don't think you're getting an off day. We will be calling you back periodically throughout the show to get your opinion on things. So stay close to that phone.
Oh, I like that idea.
Very
absolutely
good.
Absolutely.
And we will start. Yeah. We will start here. The guys on the morning show, Payne and Pendergast, were interested in hearing your opinion on this Joe Mixon audio from locker room clean out that happened yesterday with the media. This was Joe Mixon yesterday.
First off, I'm gonna say I'm a great recruit. But another thing on top of that is I'm not here to sell no dream. You know what I'm saying? So at the end of the day, whether going to the Pro Bowl or if I was just at the crib and free agency started, whatever the case it is, man, when it come down to it, definitely going to do whatever we can to obviously improve the team. When it come down to it, I just try to do whatever I can to help my teammates, help our team win and become successful. I mean, that's why I do this, and you know, that's why I love the game of football, man. That's why I play this. So definitely look forward to that recruiting aspect, having fans, you know, very excited and engaged to obviously who we're basically additions to the team. And I know for a fact that Nick got something cooked up right now. So definitely all excited for it, and fireworks will be here real soon.
Know for a fact that Nick has something cooked up. Fireworks will be here soon. Your opinion on those bold statements from the running back of this Texas team, Joe Mixon?
Yeah, as you may know, I put that on the dock this morning when I was planning to go.
People don't know that,
but he does. I'm convinced 100% that he does. There's about three or four players on this squad. Most players don't know anything that the front office is doing, don't know anything that the coach is planning, and you know, you guys know that. There are about three or four that do. Joe Mixon is one of them. I believe C.J. Stroud, obviously, is one of them, and there may be another couple. But Joe Mixon does know for a fact that something's cooking. Now, here's where it gets interesting. You know, obviously, everybody's going to speculate, what does he mean? What could it mean? I think what we really need to take away from that is it means there are going to be significant changes. It's not, you know, for him to say that and comfortably say it and to have had that discussion with Nick Caserio and perhaps even D'Amico, this is not like, oh, they're planning on drafting a receiver, or, oh, there's a, you know, this free agent right guard that they have their eye on. No, I think this is significant. And if I had to guess, I think it's now they're not going to talk to him about coaching decisions or anything like that, but I think they've given him assurances, because let's remember this. Joe Mixon did so much on his own this year, like whether it was the cutbacks. So, you know, obviously Damian Pierce couldn't have success, and other running backs didn't have the kind of success that he did. So they had to have assured him. This is my guess. That offensive line, it's going to be completely different next year, or three-fifths completely different. And I say three-fifths deliberately, because I think three players are not going to be Texans next year. And that is Laremy Tunsil, Titus Howard, and Shaq Mason. That is significant, because I think what they ultimately landed on is the blocking scheme that they had. Not only did these guys not execute it, it doesn't fit them. Those are big, burly guys. Those are the three biggest guys on the offensive line. As you well know, the zone blocking scheme, the West Coast offense, so to speak, is predicated on, we got to get to the second level. You know, we got to create our blocks, get the leverage so he can have cutback lanes and get to the second level. Those three guys can't get to the second level like others. So if I had to guess, it would be those three guys, and I think it's going to be significant.
All right, John. Well, damn, you did the whole first segment on that. All right. enjoy yourself, but not too much. We will be calling you back.
All right, man.
All right, that's John Lopez, who is trapped at the house in the snow. But, yeah, pursuant to that Joe Mixon audio, right, how confident are you in the idea and the notion that Nick definitely has something explosive up his sleeve?
There we go.
It took me a second.
I certainly hope so. Because, again, as John not alluded to, but flat out talked about, changes on the offensive line. There needs to be something up his sleeve. But knowing Nick Caserio's history as far as running teams, building teams, I think that Joe is on the spot now. Is right on the mark now. Whether he knows for sure or he's just talking, we don't know. But I do think Nick Caserio is going to make some changes.
Yeah, he said that with the level of assurance, but he also
a lot of confidence in that.
He also
that
like spoke of fireworks, and offensive line does not strike one as fireworks.
No,
especially also in such a way that if it is in the way that John is talking about there, John Lopez, the idea that, hey man, we're gonna switch this offensive line around. I don't know how giddy he would sound about that, right? You know, like, but typically running backs seem to forge a certain relationship with their offensive linemen to the point where I don't know that you would be like, man, so excited. Nick gonna do some things to get some cats out of here and get some new cats. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like the tone of that would be a little bit different than what we got there. Maybe I'm wrong. But yeah, man, the notion of like an explosive move per se is something that would be fireworks is really interesting to me, because you came off of an offseason where you had those kind of fireworks. Yeah. You had a number of free agent gets, including Joe Mixon himself.
Yeah.
So I'm like, for him to pose whatever happens as fireworks, I'm very intrigued and interested to see like what that ultimately means, because I don't know, is that offensive line or is that like Tiffany on the YouTube saying the cheetah, right? Like, is that something? Is it something of that sort that ends up, because you do need a wide receiver?
He wants out of Miami.
He wants out.
Doesn't mean it's going to happen, but he does. I think he has, what, another year or two left on his, I think 2 years left on his
I will pull current, that up. One contract. Of the ones that I did pull up is, or at one point, Cooper Kupp has kind of expressed some, like, that he still wants to play football, but he's not certain if that future is there in Los Angeles with the Rams.
Yeah.
It feels like wide receiver is the type of sexy that would
that he's talking
connote
about.
That.
Explosive.
Yeah.
Yeah. Again, like you said, they need a receiver. It doesn't feel like Diggs is going to be back.
I'm not sure.
Really? You think he might be back?
He exists as a $16 million dead cap hit.
Okay, yeah, that's
for
quite
this
a bit.
Team
quite a bit.
In a void year.
Yeah.
Without coming back. So I feel like, you know, there might be something within the cap ramifications of bringing him back and structuring those things to be able to manage that better. Now, I am in some ways out of my depths because it's not like I'm a capologist. And it feels like, I mean, these teams legitimately need a specific person who does these things in order to keep them straight. So you're not going to get me out here acting like I am a capologist.
Break it down to cap, huh?
I will do my best. I will lean on the homie Texans cap, Troy over there. I'll do that. But yeah, maybe there's circumstances there. The question then remains, do you want a 30-plus-year-old who is dealing with coming off an ACL injury
and that's
to be
tough.
The guy that, yeah, right? I don't know if that's the case. Some people are pointing to T. Higgins or Garrett Wilson. Those are all interesting, and those would be kind of that kind of move for a wide receiver. But it feels like, I mean, big change does need to happen here, though, right?
Yeah. T. Higgins would be huge. Bringing in T. Higgins here, that would be huge. I mean, because T. Higgins is, he's a number one playing as the number two. In Cincinnati currently.
They had the good fortune of having two number ones and a number two for a good period of time.
Crazy.
There. Or a 1B.
Yeah, 1A, 1B, whatever you want. Yeah. Wherever you want to go with that. But no, I do think what Joe Mixon is saying as far as explosiveness, that does point to something like receiver. You know what I mean? So not necessarily offensive line. But I think we're all in agreement. There does need to be some changes along the offensive line. I mean, to the offense, I think the offensive scheme in general, there needs to be some tweaks. Oh, but definitely on the offensive line.
In fact, we probably just need to go there, right? Like,
let's go.
All right. I will save college football championship game talk for late in the show. We're just getting going. I'm not going to lie. I did not account for the time that it took to talk to John Lopez.
Even though,
again, John Lopez is out today because his truck literally got stuck on maybe the one hill that exists in the city of Houston.
And it's still sitting there.
It is still sitting. If you know the hill in Houston, go get John Lopez's truck.
It's go take
there.
A picture.
I think he left the keys in there too.
We need somebody to pull a search and rescue on John Lopez.
Oh no, he's at that. He walked back home.
He hit the crib.
Which, by the way, means he didn't make it very far.
Nah, he didn't.
That's something that was obvious. But he is out today because of that circumstance. My guy Chris Partee.
Holla at your
boy. Here. And then we got Colin Neal. I almost called you Colin McNeil. But Colin Neal on the ones and twos, as we're all like, we're just dealing with the epidemic here because Figgy Fig's still on his flu leave, interestingly enough.
Okay.
So, yeah, there's a lot of things happening.
There's a lot going on.
A lot
on.
Of things moving on a snow day.
In the loop.
That is true. But, yeah, we will keep you going here in the loop, keep you company on the snow day. But coming up next, let's get into it. How do the Texans get over the hump, specifically offensively? We'll do that next on Sports Radio 610.
Houston, let's get in the loop.
You better get ready because we're going to show up and show out.
With John Lopez.
It is what it is, means nothing.
And Reggie Adetula.
And that, my friends, is a scorigami.
Always live, always local.
713, what's the damn number? 572-4610.
You're in the loop on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
You're on Sports Radio 610. Happy Tuesday to you. Hope that you're staying warm. Hope that you're staying dry.
Yes.
In this snowy weather. I think the snow should be kind of paring down
a little bit
in here. So, like, I think we might have made our way out of the actual precipitation phase, and now it's just snow on the ground.
I think the sun's supposed to come out a little later.
Ooh, that'd be nice, too. You know, go ahead and get some of this out of the way. Hope you are having a good time, and we plan to give you a good time as well. I'm Reginald Latitula. No John Lopez. That is Chris Partee sitting in for John Lopez. In fact, pinch hitting on short notice. So, our appreciation to Chris. And then we got our guy Colin Neal on the ones and twos today.
Utility players is what we do.
Okay.
We in the building.
Utility or bullpen? Or
I'll do both.
Okay. Oh, so it's your super utility.
Pitch and hit.
There you go.
He said, I'm going to show Hey Ohtani off the bench somehow. Right. Hey, I love it.
We're going to figure it out.
That's right. Let's get into how do these Texans get over the hump? 713-572-4610 is the number to text. That's immediately the question after a Texans loss to the Chiefs, where I think it felt like a microcosm of the season in some ways. Although you get to a place where the offense had played really well, had kind of gritted and toughed things out for, three quarters of the game, which maybe you couldn't say is a full representation of it. But like you ran the ball pretty well.
Yes.
One of the better instances of running the football in that game. You had a pretty good game plan, especially like good opening script. I will give Bobby Slowick a lot of credit there. Threw the football, decently well. But, you know, when it came time to deal with blitzes, when it came time to deal with stunts, that fell by the wayside. The defense was really good up into, and I guess, honestly, when you started getting some big plays, right? Maybe not the same type of big plays that got you. And then, of course, you had some penalties that affected you that felt like that was a little bit of a vestige of the season that you had gone through. With all that being the case, how now do the Texans get over the hump? Like, where does one start, specifically the one being talked about, Nick Caserio, trying to address, and I guess also D'Amico Ryans as the head man?
Well, we just talked about it. It's got to be the offensive line. I think that I'm old school in that sense. I believe you build a team inward out.
Trenches out.
Start in the trenches and you move out. So when the trenches need work, on the defensive side, I think you're really good. Like, you're good over there. Offensively, John just talked about it. John Lopez talked about it in the first segment. Offensive line, there's going to be, sounds like overhaul, like big changes. You know, he said 3 out of 5.
And that's one thing that I'm very intrigued by, is if that's even something that is plausible.
I think it is.
Because you've invested a lot of money and draft capital in that line. And I guess the money is the more important things because you're dealing in a salary capped sport.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you invest, I mean, that is one of the, what is it, top five earning offensive line groups in the league, right? The production clearly was not, you know, not passable. But then how do you get out from under some of that money? Can you make and navigate? And if let's go ahead and talk about the offensive line, because that one feels like the easiest or the most obvious one, right? And that's the thing that has to happen, because before you even talk about offensive coordinator, which, let's be honest, that is the next space
we're going to get there,
about.
Yeah.
Before you can evaluate him, you have to acknowledge that he was dealing with an offensive line that was not getting things done. So first and foremost, in order to overhaul an offensive line, who's the man in charge, right? Who is your direct report? Can I speak to the manager? His name is Chris Strasser. It feels like abundantly clear that Chris Strasser will not return with this team. In fact, we've gotten reporting. I believe Aaron Wilson of KPRC2 had that in his piece where he was talking about some of the situations with this team, that it's not expected that Chris Strasser will remain. Now, I know Jonathan Alexander in his dispatch yesterday talked about the idea that he's talked to some people in the building where they're not certain on coordinator Bobby Slowick, but then Chris Strasser feels like that's probably going to be a thing. So it feels like offensive line coach is going to be one of those things, and specifically getting a coach that matches the scheme that you would like to run is probably a good way to go. Like, that feels like the start.
I mean, that just, it makes too much sense almost, right? To have a coach that fits the scheme that you want to run.
That was a question that was asked time and time again this year is, wait, so why again did Chris Strasser get hired last year? If he had never had any experience running in that, like, Kubiak Shanahan of offense that you clearly are reporting over with Bobby Slowick's experience in the San Francisco and all that, why exactly is that the guy? And it felt very evident that time and time again, technically, these guys were not handling. And this is something that shows from a national perspective. I think Nate Tice has done a really good job talking about it recently. I know that he's been. But it's not just him. Like, there's a lot of people that looked at this offensive line and they're like, man, games and stunts, and you can see it. But I mean, we are looking at it from a hyper focused perspective. Yeah. We got blinders on looking at this Texas team. People that are not, that are dropping in, are like, damn, they don't look like they're well coached. And that's never a good sign for you.
They just aren't prepared.
Yes, in some ways. I was about to say, I don't even know that's, but yes, man.
Because I think it looks like you said, if you're from the outside looking in, you're not watching every single week. it just looks like they are not prepared.
Yeah.
And I believe when you have a coach that doesn't fit your scheme, ultimately, your players are not prepared.
No.
I believe that.
But I think the offensive line, the guys that you talk about that you probably, I think that it might be a two-man change that is viable here. I think that it might be Shaq Mason is probably the easy one. And I say that with respect to the man because he has been a very good veteran.
Yeah.
And I wonder how much of some of this is just not having the right technique being put in place. Because we've seen him be good before. But also, he's over the hill. And I say that again as respectfully as I can because, you know, man, like you start talking crazy about
right?
people. But it feels like the game is going from him. You've seen instances where the mobility isn't in the same place. And, I mean, he's not a spring chicken. And I do wonder if that right guard position, not wonder, I think that right guard position can be filled in a better way. So the thing about it is I think he still has, and let me go ahead and pull up my cap situation here. Shaq Mason for next season has what is the cap hit is where did I done lost where the cap number is. The cap number is here at 14 or about 15 million, 14 and a half million.
Okay.
There are ways that if you make him, you know, with the new league year, you make him a post June 1 cut and you can save yourself $9.5 million.
Okay.
About on the cap.
Okay.
That feels like something where you can make that change happen. Now, of course, you would have to, you know, you'd already have gone through some things before that.
Through free agency and the draft would be, no, the draft would have happened already. If we're talking about June, yeah.
But I think you would, with the new league year, you would be making the designation. Oh,
in March.
So
okay,
yeah, in March.
Yeah.
So at least you would, but you have to make that designation of that's where you want to go.
Yeah.
And I think that that might be one of the things that you need to do. That feels like one of the easier ones to make happen on the offensive line. Laremy Tunsil is the one that I think a lot of people want to because there's a deep frustration with how much money he makes, the fact that you keep getting these penalties that show up, and then the fact that, you know, sometimes that run blocking isn't quite what you want.
Yeah.
However, down the stretch, did it not feel like the run blocking was better for him?
For Joe Mixon, yeah, it really did. And I mean, a lot of that, honestly, could be Joe Mixon, you know, making something out of, I don't want to say nothing, but, you know, because sometimes there wasn't a lot there.
Not could be.
For him.
I maintain that he was doing a lot of individual brilliance during the course
of
the season.
Yeah, and I mean, that just goes to show you his level of skill, really.
100%.
Because, you know, the running back position and offensive line are, you know, they've got to be in sync. That's one thing that has to be in sync. And we always see most of the great running backs, I guess other than Barry Sanders, have had pretty good offensive lines.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So
it's one of the reasons why the modern, you know, some modern NFL talking heads, I guess for lack of a better term, or analysts is probably a more respectable way of saying that, have talked about the idea of the value of a running back is, hey man, you can't just get a really good running back by themselves. You have to have this offensive line.
Yes.
Plus the difference necessarily from one running back to another might be negligible compared to what you are ultimately going to invest, right? But yes, that the running game is not just, is that running back good? It is the scheme working for that running back? And of course, as you talked about, is that offensive line blocking in a big way, which you saw get better, which also, you saw get better after Titus Howard moved over to left guard. And I find that to be an interesting thing because Titus Howard is a guy that a lot of people had gotten to earlier in this year and said, I am probably done with him. And I feel like there might be some revitalization seeing him at left guard.
Turned around on that. A little bit.
Well, I don't know if people have turned around. However, I think the production that he showed at left guard, remember, he played pretty decently at left guard. He was all right at left guard last season.
Yeah.
When he was made to go there. And then, of course, again, you had the situation where he moved in left guard this year and he played pretty well there, in fact, this season. And I know that there's still some of the stunts that got them, which that's just going to be, you need your new offensive line coach to come in and make that better.
Yeah, that's a scheme thing right there.
Sure.
As far as the stunts getting you pretty much every time.
Right.
That's a scheme thing.
But I felt like he handled that in a good way. And I think the major thing you come up with Titus Howard is the idea of, okay, is he willing? Right. He can, but is he willing? Because in the past, he's talked about, I'm a tackle. I'll play guard, you know, if they need me to. And there was a lot of the coaches going, hey, we appreciate Titus Howard, you know, making that move. It felt like in the media availability that happened yesterday in the locker room as dudes were cleaning up, he felt like he was a lot more open to the idea of playing guard.
Staying at guard.
And that might be an understanding that, hey, Blake Fisher came in and played right tackle. He was drafted pretty highly as a rookie. at tackle, and it feels like he's a replacement, and he handled it well. So I feel like you might have your right guard, your right tackle, and probably your left tackle as well, because Laremy Tunsil is just, if he played better, and there's that's a contract that's really big that I don't know is the easiest to get off of. And I feel like now you start talking about, are you going to make an adjustment at right guard and maybe center? I don't know. Like, I feel like that might be more of what it is, and that might not feel good, because you have, you probably end up in a place where four of the guys that end the season in those positions are in those same positions. But I feel like that might be the thing that is manageable. Now, that is me thinking within the box, and maybe Nick Caserio and co are going to get to a place where they think more outside the box, but that feels like that is a doable way of executing this.
And I'm sure they will come up with some outside the box ways of thinking about this, but there's always ways to kind of finagle the cap. We see it all the time now. Usually what teams do is kind of, you know, kick the can down the road as far as, you know, moving guys around or bringing other guys in. That's not always the best way to do it, but there are, where there's a will, there's a way. So I think they can figure out how to, you mentioned, you know, possibly at least two of those spots on the offensive line being new guys next year coming in. I think they can figure out a way to do that. But again, you also have to counteract and balance that with what are you doing at receiver as well?
Yeah, and
because look, that's another big part of it.
We'll come back around to, because look, we just talked about offensive line and trying to get over the hump. That's clearly a big one. There's another big one that we probably need to talk about. Yeah. We'll circle back around to that probably at noon, maybe at 11:20 if B. Scott finds his phone.
I'll tell you what I mean by that.
Because coming up next, let's get into our question of the day. It's a snow day here in Houston. What are the best snow day activities? Let us know. 713-572-4610. We'll discuss that as we keep going here on Sports Radio 610.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyers Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
Yeah, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Reginald Adetula, Chris Partee in for John Lopez.
Oh, yeah.
And we got Colin Neal on the ones and twos. Are you letting me know that we did it again?
We ready to go.
We did it again. Our question of the day is going here, 713-572-4610. What are the best snow day activities? As if you're not in the great city of Houston, if you're somehow listening to us on YouTube, which is available to you, Sports Radio 610, or if you're on the Odyssey app and not in Houston. Hey, man, we in the snow right now, and a good amount of it. Like,
yeah.
I am nobody's meteorologist. Actually, you know what? We go now to our in-the-loop meteorologist. He is a man who is absconding from work on this day. His name is John Lopez. How much snow do we have?
I got just at under 5 inches in my house.
Wow. Okay.
Like four and a half.
And what's the address of your house again, so that we know about where in the city?
Where to go? Well,
you can't miss it. There's a truck at the end of the block.
Just a random truck in the middle of the block, just sitting there.
All right, so Lopez, what is your favorite snow day activity, and why is it just leaving your truck in the middle of the road?
Well, okay, well, that's definitely one of them. Back when I, you know, I traveled a lot on the Winter Olympics and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I used to just like you gotta be outside, like among the trees and maybe a big landscape, a big hill, and just go for a long walk. I mean, it's gorgeous. I mean, the thing about it is, you bundle up, you get out there, and as you know, I live kind of near a big open nature area. So I walked over there. We walked over there, took a couple of pictures. I mean, just that old winter landscape. It doesn't sound real sexy, you know, but a nice walk in that snow, especially while it's snowing, man, there ain't nothing better than that. But as far as activities, I mean, come on. I saw a guy today going down a hill on Twitter. I forget who. I think it was Sally McDonald over at Fox 26. She tweeted the picture.
That's right.
Some dude was going down the hill in I think Allen Parkway. Maybe it was Memorial Park.
It was Allen Parkway.
Yeah, on a rubber duck.
Rubber duck. Sledding on a rubber duck. And then people are skiing.
Yes, actual skis. So you got to do that. You know what my favorite activity now, though, is? Is I, as you know, I've got a little, slightly over 2-year-old granddaughter and an almost 1-year-old granddaughter, and getting the videos from my kids of them experiencing snow for the first time, dude, that is the best. Like my oldest, she was like, no, no, no. She was scared of it at first.
Good.
And then next thing I know, she's running all over the place. No,
train
the
her
snow.
Up. Snow stinks.
Yeah.
you get 1 hour snow, that's good, and then it stinks. All right, Lopez, we will be calling you back soon. Enjoy your day off, but we're going to make sure that it's not a day off.
I will be here.
All right. There's John Lopez.
Thank you, John.
He was snowed in at his house, and so we are making him work by calling him periodically. But yes, question of the day, what are the best snow day activities? What do you think, Chris?
Well, personally, today my snow day activity was spending the night at the station.
That's right. Both you and Colin, you guys.
It was a group of us here.
Yeah, so that you didn't end up like John.
Exactly.
Y'all were up here at the studio.
Yeah.
Of course, I am relatively nearby, so that me traversing the streets wasn't too difficult.
Yeah.
But you guys, y'all were like, look, we're not handling that.
Yeah, I'm out. I live out in Cyprus, so, you know, it might have been tough for me to get in here at short notice.
Definitely would have been tough to be. How did it go? Was it fun? Did it work out all right? Did you eat good?
we ate good. You know, we got snacks in there and we got soup, but you know, we didn't have bowls though.
Wait a minute.
We talked about that. We didn't have any bowls.
Yeah, it's soup but no bowl. So I'm guessing you didn't eat any soup then?
Or I did not have soup.
Did you heat it up like you were riding the rails, like you put a can of beans over a open fire, open flame?
I think it got close to that. I think Patrick had some soup last night.
Shout out to PC.
So now, late last night, it was myself, Colin, and Patrick Creighton. We're up till probably 3 a.m. watching Monday Night Raw.
Heating
up cans of beans and soup over an open fire.
What a good time. Hey, that sounds like y'all having a great time.
We did it. It was a good sleepover. I'll put it like that. We had fun.
And so I will share with you guys one of my favorite snow day activities, which is eating a hearty meal. We talked about this a little bit yesterday. I made me some chili last night, buddy, as those flurries started falling, and I felt great. I just felt warm inside, had some cornbread with it, just watching the snowfall.
I wish we would have known that. Seeing as how close you live, I wish we would have known that last night.
I got you, though. I will take care of you guys because I didn't know that y'all were heating up a singular can of beans to spread amongst yourself. Some other snow day activities.
We have to fight for the scraps.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, there's enough. There's enough. I was planning on eating on chili for the next couple of days, but I will share it with my brethren here. Somebody said, snow day activities from Maryland, sledding at any closed elementary school with the hill. Yeah, I mean, people apparently are out there. And thankfully, there's actually enough snow for you to do that, because sometimes when the snow sticks, you get just like a little bit. So it's like it looks covered, but it's really not actually sledable, I guess.
Well, I mean, John said he got almost 5 inches.
Yeah,
so I mean, that's a good amount of snow.
And he was, in that instance, I believe he was talking about snow. I hope that he was.
I hope so. Mm-hmm. I surely hope so.
That was the reference there. But yeah, man, getting out there. I guess, how many snow days have you actually had? Because I feel like I'm also being unfair in asking this question if you haven't had that many.
Well, I grew up in California, so not many. But okay. I did live in Chicago for about three years.
And the tough part about it is, like, at that point, it's not a snow day. It's just a day.
Exactly. That's the thing. Chicago don't shut down for snow. You know, when you go up north a little bit, they don't shut down for snow. So, but again, I grew up in California. So for me, it was a culture shock to get there. And I mean, like, not just the snow. I'm talking about -8 degrees.
And the wind chill. It's the wind chill that gets you.
And I lived 2 blocks from Lake Michigan when I was
gross.
There.
Oh, gross.
It was cold. I mean, when I say cold, it was cold.
Did you get one of those, balaclavas or whatever? Now they calling them the shiesties?
I probably should have. I did not, but I probably should have.
Because I remember the year that I lived in Kansas, that was the thing that got me. I was like, all right, it's cold.
Oh,
that's fine.
Yeah.
Then you walk in that parking lot, and that wind just
hits you
in the face, and you're like, I don't want to live anymore. I don't want to be here.
Nah.
So yeah, that's probably the tough thing there. I wonder, because again, I did not spend very much time outside today. I'll be honest. Maybe later. Maybe I'll go on a walk.
Go on a walk or
sled like some of you fine folks on this snow day. But I don't think we got the wind chill going in the same way as you might.
I sincerely hope not. For when I do have to go back out there, I hope it's not windy like that.
From the 713, snow day activities are to have a snow fight with a beautiful woman, then go inside, drink alcohol.
I like that.
Enjoy that time.
I like that idea.
Yeah, look, man, especially if you don't have any responsibilities, although the kiddos are at home. So, you know, if the kiddos are at home, maybe be a little bit careful about that. But, you know, getting a little nip on. You know,
but if you don't got no kids, you're good.
Drink to get you a little whiskey or something like that.
Are you a whiskey guy?
I got some whiskey.
Okay.
I do some. I'm not a huge drinker generally.
I'm not either, but I do like whiskey. If I drink, it's usually going to be probably Jack Daniel. And I'm a Jack guy.
I feel you. I'm also I'm a social drinker, so I'm drinking what you drinking.
Okay.
Well, it takes away some of the decision making. And then
drinking whiskey then.
Okay. I like that. I can bring some up later as well. Apparently, I'm gonna spend my day also in here at the station with you guys by choice as opposed to by necessity.
Right.
Somebody also said shoveling the driveway and de-icing your car is fun. I can't imagine that it actually is. Also, how many people are actually going to shovel their driveway in Houston today? I can't imagine. So I mean, it'll melt here relatively soon, won't it?
So it should. But the first time I had to actually shovel snow and de-ice was when I was living in Portland, Oregon.
Oh,
and
what?
They don't really get snow a lot, but this was like 2017 or 18.
It's just a lot of rain.
Tons of rain, just like Seattle, but they got a lot of snow. And that was the first time I had ever had to shovel my car out of snow and de-ice the car and do all those things.
Oof.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why I love Houston, because once we get to that place, it's like the work that comes with snow, we're like, oh, I'd rather just not. I'm going to stay where I am.
Wait till it melts.
That's what
I advise.
It's like, I can't go anywhere. Sorry. You get the John Lopez. You're just like, sorry, can't do anything. Until it all goes away.
Can't work, can't go to school, can't do nothing.
That's right. One of a good snow day activity is just go out there and play with the kids, man, because the kids are going to enjoy themselves. And our guy Brandon Scott apparently has done that. We'll see if we can actually get him on the show today, because I wanted to keep the B. Scott from Hiram Clark energy at 11:20 and get his thoughts.
Right.
So apparently his phone got lost out in the snow. So we'll see if he still has a phone, if he can find it, or even if the phone works, because I imagine if that chills out in the snow for a little bit,
he might be a wrap.
He might be cooked.
If we call him, maybe he can find it.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Let's try that.
Give his phone a call and see if that helps him find it. While we do that, shout out to our Sports Radio 610 homies that are also listening. Tyler Milner of The Drive said that he believes that actually the bad wind chill temperature is coming tonight.
Oh, come on. Thanks, Tyler.
So tonight is the day get your snow day activities out while it's still light. I was about to say the sun is up, but it's overcast. Go ahead and enjoy the snow day activities now, because we're going to have the low still below freezing. So someone on the YouTube is mentioning it'll melt, but then it might free-freeze.
Exactly.
And that'll be even worse, because then we're just talking about ice.
Then that's when the streets are really dangerous. So everybody, please be safe out there. Please.
Oh, my goodness. And shout out to Ron Hughley, who he is a snow veteran, being from Missouri.
Okay.
And so he said that he actually shoveled his driveway today.
Okay.
I don't know. Well, I guess I was about to say, I don't know what he's using it for. It's because he's going to be on the drive from 2 to 6 today. So he wanted to make sure he get out the house.
He needs to get here.
That's right. That's right. So shout out to everybody out there. Hope you are having a good snow day. Keeping warm, getting you something to drink, and playing with the kids. And another snow day activity, listen to Sports Radio 610. How about that?
There you go.
All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's go around the NFL where... Hey, did a team in the AFC South actually get better with this hire? We'll talk about it next.